And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio today Nate Wallace, City Manager of the City of Palmer. Welcome.
Good morning.
You walked over here from the City Hall, right?
Yes.
And so you have
a walkable city.
Yeah, it's a walkable city. And, of course, we have had this week the extraordinary change. In a flash, you could blink your eye, and we went from green and leaves and flowers to snow.
Yeah, so a lot of snow.
It's a lot of snow. I know the Public Works Department was prepared for winter, and I can tell looking out here that they've been hard at work, and they've had a break because they haven't had continuing snowfall, which makes things a little more difficult. Anything that you would care to say new about how the snow was handled this year, just in summary?
Well, I don't know anything new. It's each storm is different. And of course, this one was a big snowfall over a course of about 48 hours. So all the crews are in. First thing is to get the roads cleared. And then because it was so much this time, trying to get it picked up and moved out of the way for the next snow, the issues we have and we see in the future with all the snow clearing is, you know, when you pile it up and then it gets warm and it turns to something you can't move. And that started to happen early on in this storm. It was a light snow, and then it turned to a heavy wet snow, and then it got warm. Relatively warm. The sun came out, right. So the top layer starts to melt, and then it moves down to the bottom layer and becomes very heavy. So,
well, I noticed that just trying to move up the short, really relatively short driveway we have in town. It said, okay, I can remember moving snow more easily than this.
Yes.
And
going into the weekend, it was projected to be 3 to 5 inches with sunshine and warmth, so it wasn't expected to really stick because the ground, we haven't had the cold temperatures to make the ground cold so it would stick, but it just kept coming and coming, and eventually the layer that's meeting the new fresh snow is cold, and so it sticks. So there's some good and bad to that, having right. warm ground and a layer of snow.
What I did notice that we received a phone message encouraging the vehicles that we might have left on the street to be put in another place, in the driveway, et cetera, so that this clearing could happen. And like magic, starting at what I was told, 4 a.m., certainly on the street where we live, the sidewalk was cleared, and the street was cleared, and all of that snow pile was taken away to where?
We have a couple of different snow dumps. We lease from ourselves, actually lease from the airport, a spot to dump snow there. Of course, the airport probably has as much snow removal as the entire city with the aprons and the runways and all, but we take it there. And then we've also got another leased lot on the backside of the airport. It's from Cope Industrial that we also dump our snow. But when we look at just the roadways, the shoulders are considered snow storage. So that's another plea. I mean, some areas we just plow it to the side in the drainage ditches, and then eventually it melts off in the spring. So pushing it as far as we can to the side where there aren't curb and gutter, that's the other piece that where a lot of snow is stored throughout the winter.
And in downtown, right down Alaska Street, which has many businesses along the way, I noticed there was still enthusiasm because early in the season and people got out with their shovels and shoveled the sidewalks, and the snow was pushed toward the street, on the edge of the street, et cetera.
Yes.
And it has been removed. I'm looking out the window right now from our studio, and it's all gone, and that's cool.
So it's all about timing. As the sidewalks aren't something that the city is budgeted or resourced to clean across the city, and much like a lot of other places in Lower 48 in Alaska, the property owners that are responsible for clearing the sidewalk on their property, and we really encourage the property owners to do that and do it before we come and pick up the snow, so there isn't another pile there. If you were to clear your sidewalks today, there wouldn't be the city pickup, but that's okay. Get it to the street from your sidewalk, not your driveways or your parking lots. before we pick it up, and we will clean it up. But
so I'm thinking about schools, and I'm thinking about like along Chugach sidewalk there, or I'm thinking about the bike path from Palmer High School on down. How do those get cleared?
Well, those are wider, so we can put a tractor with a brush or a blower on it. So the bike paths are a different animal than sidewalks. So we do have really it's a one-man crew that's what he does in the morning while the plows are going. He's not a licensed grader operator, but he can drive a mini tractor down those trails and get them cleared up. And with a four-wheeler, we have a four-wheeler with a plow as well.
Okay. Okay, so sidewalks, I'm guessing, get, especially those that are leading to schools, get a high priority?
Yes, the ones that we can get to.
Okay. Well, there's a break, a lot of sun. I'm guessing that, from what I can tell, it'll be a while before the next snowfall comes down. Each year, as you pointed out, each storm can be a little bit different. And this year, it seemed that historically we started later, that usually there was a little bit more action with snow earlier than the end of October.
Yes, last year we had some wet days that was very cold, so we sanded a lot before we ever actually had to plow. This year we didn't have the wet building up to this. This was really the first moisture that we had. So you didn't see plow trucks out with sanders sanding the intersection beforehand or thawing out other. And when we get the cold rain, and there's a potential to freeze some of the storm drains. So we hadn't had to do that early this year. And now that the snow's here, it's winter. It really was for us winter all at once.
What does this do for the typical winter warnings about freezing utilities or letting water run or things of that sort? I'm guessing it's a good thing to have a snow layer down while the ground was warm this early in the season.
It's a different animal when it's like that. That gives you a layer to keep the ground warmer longer, and the temperature, how deep it goes. So eventually it'll get through the snow and the ground will freeze to the depths that we normally see. But this does prolong that season because the ground is warmer. It's got, it's like in your bed, you put a blanket over you.
Sure.
Hopefully your body heat keeps it warm underneath. We don't have that kind of extreme temperature under the layer of snow. So eventually the cold creeps in. But yeah. Again, it just prolongs it a little bit.
Okay.
The other piece with the snow is it keeps the dry brush covered, so we don't have winter fires.
Yes. And also it covers up the work that was being done on the new highway that seemed to be more than perhaps had been anticipated since the weather was so great as we go down along the glen. And then abruptly, has it stopped now, been put to bed for winter? What's the status of the highway construction?
It hasn't stopped yet, but as you mentioned, it prolonged their season, so they got a lot more work done than I think they anticipated. But I think they had projected work even through the winter, but it's just not as intense.
Okay. A lot of the utilities were being put under the ground, I saw.
Yes.
And of course, clearing for the roadway itself. And then that'll pick up in the spring, and then we'll have the new part done by fair time next year, right?
They've been very aggressive this year, and I'm hearing that they really plan to have this completed, the substantial completion, by next fall. So it's exciting to see that this project might get done in a year and a half as opposed to 3 to 5 that we saw in the parks.
Right.
The parks was a much longer project, but again, it was tough on going that direction.
Sure.
For several years.
Okay. Well, let's switch to the bottom line type of topics. We're right, I think, literally in the middle of the intense period of budget. because you keep having meetings every week. And how would you say, where in the budget process is the city right now, and how is it going?
Well, this is my third budget. So I've got a little more practice under my belt in a sense of what the council and community are looking for. Things really haven't changed drastically over the last 3 years, budget-wise. We've kept costs down where we can. Of course, inflation, we can't fight that. So the price of power and electricity, those things go up. Price of just materials that we have to use, so those things constantly go up. Just the way the nature of our pay scale, salaries go up. Revenues are the piece that aren't keeping up with the cost of doing business. So that's something that we're really watching and see how our revenues are keeping up with expenditures. Fred Meyer's was a big boost for the expansion of that store. The events that we have in town continue to draw people in. And as folks, if they don't know, 70% of our revenue for the city is derived from sales tax. We collect upwards of $7 to $7.5 million in sales tax, and that's what really pays for our $11 million budget. The other $4 million is spread through property tax and other associated fees. So, having new business come in and keeping our businesses prosperous here in town is always our focus. But we are growing. There's some exciting things happening, and with the opening of the Glen Highway corridor there with the frontage road, and that is already zoned commercial. We expect that, you know, that'll develop, and we'll have an additional source of revenue so that we can continue to provide the same level of services that we have.
So when you say frontage road, maybe tell listeners what that's going to look like.
So the Glen Highway will expand, but on top of that, to keep it, because it is a highway, to keep the traffic flowing when folks turn into Crimson View, there's a substantial subdivision out there. Mm-hmm. And there's property along the highway. Right now there's just driveways, so you have to stop, wait for traffic to clear before you can pull into a driveway. So there's three stoplights going in at the Springer system, one at Inner Springer, one at Outer Springer, and then farther down, I believe there'll be another stoplight in the future. But those stoplights will lead to frontage roads, so there'll be a road that travels along the east side of the highway so that you won't have to pull into a driveway. You'll have a smaller road to travel to get to either businesses or into a subdivision or into your property that's along the highway. So that will, one, ease some of the things we see now when traffic backs up or you have to slam on your brakes because someone's trying to turn into a driveway, but also make access to those areas much more convenient, which lends itself to commercial type activities.
It's somewhat similar to what's along the Palmer-Wasilla Highway in certain locations. There's a light that you go in, and then you have a frontage road back and forth around.
Yep. So you can get from store to store without having to get back on the highway.
Okay. Will the bike path be done next summer?
That's part of the project, and it should be. I have to go back and look at the drawings, but I believe the bike path is between the highway and the frontage road. It's all part of the same project, but I think that's where it's going. It's going to go along in between those two.
Okay.
And it'll stretch from Kepler Lakes all the way into the tunnel at Auklett.
Okay. So when we're talking budget and we're referring to income and so on, I'm thinking, I don't think I had a picture of what this year's fair sales tax contribution was. Do you have those figures yet?
Yes, we do. They were either as good as, if not better than last year. There was a lot of, some of the vendors had really good years. As far as the state fair, the fairgrounds with attendance, because that's also a source of revenue. I can't recall where that stood from year to year. But overall, it was equal to or better than last year.
Okay. Pretty much in line with what we projected.
Yep.
Okay, projecting. So in this whatever climate we're in Alaska and in the valley, it appears then what you're saying is that sales tax revenue has continued, but there's the question of whether it is matching up with the inflationary aspects of operating.
Yes, we've been pretty steady on both. I would say in the past we've over budgeted. So we've always had a reserve at the end of the year, significant reserve, over $1 million a couple of years ago. But that gap is closing. So we've been fortunate. We've been conservative in our operations, and we've been conservative in our projections for revenue. But just a matter of now, it's finding those efficiencies and tightening the belt a little bit to make sure that we're not wasting money, because we no longer have the luxury of the gap of over budgeting. We're not to that point anymore.
And in years past, there have been some very large projects, such as the runway renovation and also the sewer plant thing. How is that the new sewage disposal process going? Is it where is it in the stage of being finished?
As a construction project, it's really done. We're now in the performance period where we're testing to make sure that it meets all requirements for the EPA and the state.
Okay.
As far as how we're treating water. As far as, and you mentioned the airport project, that one is also substantially complete. So the big construction projects for the city are really behind us. The airport will continue to work with the FAA for maintenance grants, and those can run upwards of $500,000 every year, with the city matching about 6%, 6 to 7%. So it's a great deal in that sense, and it provides jobs for the community, because those are $500,000 projects, nothing to shake a stick at.
Sure.
But the other piece is, you know, this, just the funding that we've had in the past. We've done close to $70 million worth of projects, and the city really, of that $70 million, has only had to kick in $5 million over the last 15 years, because it's all been grant-supported through the state or the feds. And both of those sources are starting to, well, the state money has dried up. Now that's, price of oil is creeping back up. We hope in the next couple of years to see some additional state grants start to release again for infrastructure projects. Still waiting on the federal programs on what that's going to look like for infrastructure. And we expect that'll be matching. So we've got a reserve that's about $3.5 million. Mm-hmm. And, that would be something we could tap into, not too deeply, because that reserve is for emergency. If we have a water line, sewer line, a sinkhole, some kind of emergency that the city's going to have to respond to.
Right.
We still want to have a healthy reserve to be able to overcome whatever obstacles we have. But if the state and federal have matching programs for grants, then we want to be ready for those.
A couple of questions about somewhat smaller pieces of what you've been doing. I noticed there was a small parking lot over by the Arboretum.
Yes. So the Arboretum, the city owned a portion of that, and the University of Alaska Fairbanks owned the building and about a third of the actual Arboretum. That has since, the university property changed hands into private. So the parking lot became private property.
Oh.
And the front half where the sign, the big sign is currently on private property, and we're working to move that so that when the property owner decides to develop, they don't have obstacles that are in the way from the city. So that area there was an old shed. It had a concrete pad. So we moved the concrete pad, moved some gravel in that was available, and then put a little bit of wrap that was left over from the airport project that's piled up over by off of Culp Industrial. Split rail fence. So it was a pretty low cost project, and actually makes that area look more inviting, I think, the way it looks now. So
it's set right at the beginning of a very well used trail for dogs walking connector, also on over to Industrial Cope.
Yeah, we tried to connect the Cope Industrial bike path walkway with eventually getting it to the Butte path. So that was one piece, was to gravel that in, not knowing that there was going to be a big development, the senior development that's going in next to the MTA Event Center. So, I mean, that great to say, yeah, we knew that was coming, and have foresight of connecting that group of seniors to downtown, because it is a shortcut to the parks, to the ball fields. So we always want to connect seniors with young folks, and that's a great easy path to walk across, and you're at the Little League fields.
So who owns the Arboretum itself?
The city does.
Okay, so the city's got the Arboretum and that parking lot, and then in the front part of it, there's private property.
At the corner, yes.
Right.
So where Gokana and Fireweed come together. Okay. Across from the borough, the Kremlin building.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. And the second question I had was, I know that now it's been a month or so since the discussion for short-term rentals happened. So has there been any movement in terms of increased number of short-term rentals or anyone using that process?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
And that was, I think that was kind of expected because we've seen most of the rentals that are online are outside this, have been outside the city limits. And the ones that have been inside the city have been in a commercial zone, which didn't require a lot of work. But
Okay. And lastly, from my standpoint, I've been looking at your website, and I've heard rumors that there's some changes coming to it. How's that working?
We've got a kind of a shadow site that we're working on to revamp the old web page. We've asked for some changes on how it functionality, so the menus are more friendly. Mm-hmm. The graphics are a little more modern. And it's just a matter of moving all our content over. Majority of our content has been moved, but then the access to the content has been tricky. And of course, we don't have a huge staff. We contracted out locally to have the webpage built, but we didn't contract out to have it managed. That's the expensive portion of those things, to have full-time staff to manage that. So we're working through with our own staff to make sure it's all there and it's all the most current. So I suspect by January we'll be able to preview.
Oh, okay, that's good.
If you do a search now, you can find it. It's actually a live page, but we don't use it. It's not current information.
So in the process, the two questions that immediately come. One is, are you going to make it easier for the staff to facilitate changes in? Every web page, if it pops up and it's done, it looks good, then there's invariably little things, big things you want to do with it. And there's this interesting dance between having someone do it for you or being able to do those things locally.
Yes, the intent going in was that staff could make changes on the fly without too much difficulty. Our current page is... I think it was probably developed in the late 90s, maybe early 2000s.
It has an older look.
Yeah. It actually looks just like Palmer, Massachusetts.
Oh, that's right. That's where someone might have gone. The other question I have is, are you thinking of having some kind of like draft test feedback with some fresh eyes that look and say, oh, yeah, here, go take a look at this, see if it works for you?
And that's again, when we premiere it, it's going to be a new website, but the feedback is always there to, like to see this. Whereas now, if you say, I'd like to see this, I'm sorry, we don't have the capability to do that. So with the new page, to some degree, we'll be able to, move things around much more easily, make some of the links and menu connections as we go through it. Again, having somebody outside design it, a local business, you have free license to do some, not free license, you've got some leeway to make this more user-friendly from an outside perspective as opposed to an in-house staff saying, here's what it is and here's what you're going to have. So having that outside perspective to design and then build it, and then matter of the staff adding the content that, when you click on a city manager page, it's got stuff on it as opposed to just saying city manager at the top with my picture.
Sure. What I've noticed recently looking at a number of pages, whether it's the borough is another good example, mm-hmm. for one case, they're heavily using Facebook for a variety of different things, social media in different ways, so that this web page is maybe a landing page for takeoff, but particularly for current events, things that are happening, what's going on right now. It's not so much the web page, but the Facebook page that carries that stuff. Yeah. Okay. Well, look forward to it.
Yes, the web page, and kind of the way I look at it, is it's a source for data. If you want up to date, what's going on, it is Facebook, because Facebook is designed to be that immediate feedback. Where web pages, you have to go in and make changes to content. It's not something that's live. So there's two different reasons for different things. So
okay.
Definitely need to have a link to Facebook.
So the last time I went to the webpage and looked at the calendar, I saw something about council meeting on the 25th of December. You think that'll still happen?
No, I don't think that's on the calendar. That one's not even listed. It was canceled at the beginning of the year.
Maybe I looked a little while ago before it was canceled.
Yeah, maybe. We just assumed it was a Christmas. But
Okay. We'll go with that.
December 11th is our last meeting.
Got it. Any last comments you'd like to make about things upcoming in the city or topics that we've somehow missed?
No, again, the MT Event Center is going full gang with the with a lot of different hockey events going out there. Next weekend is the high school hockey showdown. We'll have 10 teams this year, is what they've said. 3 days. So you'll see a lot of hockey activity going on in the city with schools from all over the state coming in. So we look forward to that. And again, appreciate everyone's patience and assistance in helping us clear the snow. It's not always easy making that first transition, remembering to get your cars off the street. And when the plows are coming through, make sure you give them plenty of leeway. So I think the snow truck just went by. I think we've done a pretty good job this week for as much snow as we've gotten. So it's a little rusty. Had one new driver this year in a grader, and he did a great job. Didn't run over any cars or throw rocks through windows, and he'll be ready. He'll be much more trained for the next year. So, again, we appreciate everybody's patience and assistance with getting through this big mess.
Okay. Well, Nate Wallace, City Manager of the City of Palmer, I thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
All right. Here we go.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your City of Palmer, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.